For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 36. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. There is no life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all natural life. Many would have us believe that natural life just happened spontaneously, through some method that they've dreamed up. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of life. There is no natural life, there is no spiritual life outside of the Lord. As we interact with people at work and at the markets or wherever we go, we continue to tell them, even though they might not hear, even though they might not listen, we continue to tell them that Jesus Christ is the creator. He's the God-man sent to earth to save man's soul. We're so thankful for that. The fountain of life. Water is absolutely essential to life. Water is following along in your lessons. Lesson 12, the fountain of life. Water is absolutely essential to life. Water is refreshing. It is thirst quenching. But more importantly, it is life-giving. One cannot live without water. Likewise, when we consider our spiritual life, there is no life without spiritual water. This brings us to the subject of Psalm 36, the fountain of life. The Lord is the fountain of life. As we think of water throughout the scriptures, remember, of course, the children of Israel, and they needed water, didn't they? And the Lord provided that water for them. Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She came for a drink of water that day, and the Lord gave her the living water, didn't he? As she trusted him. Water, we can't live without it. Some have been shipwrecked, some have been in deserts, and many have died. Others have lived through the experience. And to be without water, they say by the time someone dies, and I read the description, but I won't go through it, because the description of a person dying of thirst, just to see that person in that seventh day, in that eighth day, would be repulsive just to see them. It is a terrible way to die, they say. A terrible way to die. We as Christians have to make sure that each day that we're going to the Lord for that spiritual water. There's Christians that go along in their lives, and believe it or not, the Lord Jesus doesn't seem to be a big part of their lives. They don't daily drink of that living water. That living water. We need to daily drink of it. We need to get it from the Holy Spirit. As we take God's word and as we pray, and that indeed the Holy Spirit will make God's word light to us and make it come alive and give us understanding. Psalm 36:9 says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." In John chapter 4, verses 9 through 15, we won't turn there, but you're probably familiar with it, the woman at the well. The woman at the well. She came that day. The Lord Jesus spoke with the Samaritan woman as she came to draw water from the well. And he revealed to her that he was that living water. And she said, you have nothing to fish the water out of the well with. How are you going to give me drink? And he said, if you knew who I was, if you knew who the person you spoke to was, you would have asked of me. And she asked him, and he told her in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life." And I trust by your presence here this morning that most of you, if not all of you, have done that. You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, as that woman did that day. If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is the living water, and he is looking to give you salvation if you'll but trust in him. Psalm 36, the Bible says that our God is the fountain of life. The fountain of life. The Lord Jesus did not design the Christian life to be a burden. He designed the Christian life to be a great joy. The more deeply we drink from this fountain of life, the more satisfying our Christian lives will become. The more deeply we drink from this fountain of life, this, the incarnate written word of God, the more deeply we drink from it, the more satisfying our Christian lives will become. Jeremiah 2:3 says, big and loud, yes. Okay, very good. Thank you. Two groups of people there. First, those that drank freely of the living water. They then were satisfied in Christ. They had the joy of Jesus in their hearts. They were excited about what God had done for them, what God was doing in their lives, and what God was going to do for them. I'm very excited about what the Lord did for me, that the Lord saved me, and many blessings he poured upon me. I'm excited today that he is continuing to work in my heart. And I'm excited about what he could possibly do with me if I could just set me aside and give me to him. I'm excited about what he could do in and through me. And I'm sure that's the same for you. The second group of the people there, in Jeremiah 2:13, is those that drank something that Satan, out of a broken cistern, had tried to pass off as water. Salvation, some other way, through being a good person, through church attendance, through doing good deeds. All things that will leave you thirsty when they're done will not bring salvation, will not take us to heaven. But Satan, and I work with a lot of people. I work in a plant, there's probably 500 people, I would imagine, 600, I'm not sure. Being in a trade, I work around a lot of people. And I do run across Christians, and it's a blessing when I do, but there's a lot of people out there that don't care anything about God. God means nothing to them in their lives. We've got to take the light to them. We have to take that life-giving substance, the fountain of life. We have to take the Lord Jesus to them. Psalm 42:1. As a hart, which is a deer, may I say, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I pray that that verse would be one of your verses. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. God is the living water. I hope you pant for him as a deer panteth for the waters. Nothing of this world will satisfy the human thirst for the divine. Nothing of this world. Not all the deeds that we do with our hands, they won't satisfy the human thirst for the divine. I hope there's a thirst in your soul for the divine. I hope that each morning or whenever your day starts, if you're a shift worker, it may start a little bit later in the day, but whenever your day starts, I hope it starts with a thirst for God. The Lord is there, the fountain of life. Turning in your lesson to the sinner, Psalm 36, let's read Psalm 36, 1-4. Transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth that which is evil. He abhorreth that. I'm sorry. He abhorreth not evil. He abhorreth not evil. What does the sinner say of himself? He says, we find the answer here in Psalm 36. You ask a sinner, what do you think about yourself? He might say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good fellow. I don't harm anyone. I've never robbed a bank. And he'd have a list of good deeds done. What does this psalm say about the sinner? This psalm says that there's no fear of God before his eyes. There's no fear of God before his eyes. Spurgeon says, those eyes which have no fear of God before them now shall have the terrors of hell before them forever. Shall have the terrors of hell before them forever. God says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. The gavel has been sounded, and the righteous judge of all the earth has declared every man guilty. Every man guilty. All are sinners. People say your God is not a God of love. He certainly is. He certainly is. We know that God sent his only begotten Son, as John 3:16 tells us. He's a God of love. He sent his only begotten Son that you and I could be saved. Jesus Christ came to bring us salvation. That's a God of love. That's a God of love. Many gods today across our world that they would have us try to believe in. Someone once said that they send your sons to die for them. But the God of all creation sent his Son to die for you. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The sinner, they're all lost, and they are right now underneath the wrath of God. They're under the wrath of God right now. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ have been given the responsibility to take the truth of what God says about sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sinner has rejected that life-giving substance. The sinner has rejected them. And their loss. God loves them with an everlasting love, but the Bible says that they are all guilty before God. Guilty before God. That'd be a horrible way to end up, but it doesn't end up there. It doesn't stop there, does it? It doesn't have to end there. There's a God of love. There's the Savior, as we see secondly. The Savior, verses 5 through 9. The Savior in verses 5 through 9. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, preservest man and beast. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. We notice how God uses things in creation to help us understand his wonderful attributes. God uses creation. We talk about creation. We tell others about the Savior through creation. What a great God he is through creation. We use the heavens. We use just the tremendousness of his creation. When we think up from here and we think up to heaven, and we think out and And every year our scientists are learning more and more, and yet the further out they reach and the further out they learn, the more they realize there's no end to it. It's a God of all creation, a mighty God. The sinner flattereth himself. Verse 2, in his own eyes he flattereth himself. The words of his mouth are iniquity, and he left off to be wise. In Job 28:28, who has that verse? Glenn? Okay. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The natural man has left off to be wise, as verse 3 told us. Then verse 4, why things he does, verse 4 says he is not good, and he abhorreth that. He abhorreth not that which is evil. He abhorreth not that which is evil. The natural man does not understand the Lord. The Lord is offering eternal life to the natural man, and the natural man does not understand it. That's why we have to tell them. Romans 12:9. Jerry, big and loud.
Let love be without assimilation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Commanded in scriptures, and yet natural man does not do that. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Just as the heavens covered the earth, God's mercy is available to everyone. In this psalm, we have a sinner introduced to us, a sinner who should be judged. He is a sinner who should come under God's wrath. But immediately, God says his mercy is available. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. God's mercies are new every morning to us. New every morning. New every morning. What a blessing. They need to be new every morning, don't they? Because our natural man is there when we wake up, isn't he? Our sinful nature is certainly there. It hasn't been eradicated yet, has it? We'll drop it when we go to heaven, but for right now we have it. And it's there in the mornings when we wake up. And we need the Lord's mercies every morning. Thy faithfulness, verse 5, reacheth unto the clouds. God's faithfulness. No matter what you are dealing with on earth, no matter the situation in which you find yourself, remember that our God is faithful. Our God is faithful all the time. Verse 6, our righteousness, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. A great deep. The Marianas Trench. So deep in the Pacific Ocean. If you were to take Mount Everest and set it in the Marianas Trench, from the top of the mountain to the surface of the water is still 1 mile. Still 1 mile. The depths of the Marianas Trench. And what does the Lord liken that to? Thy judgments are a great deep. God's judgments are holy. God's judgments are like a great deep. They are mighty. They are truthful. They are sure. We deal with things we do not understand. But we can, by faith, believe that God is a righteous God, and he will never do wrong. Shall not the righteous judge of all the earth do right? And then in verses 7 through 9, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. David claimed, following along in your lesson, David exclaimed how wonderful it is to put our trust in the Lord. Luke 13, 34, Jesus said, looking as he walked up to the city, Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings. God's love for us, to gather that brood under her wings. Under her wings, bringing protection and safety and shelter. That's what the Lord does for us. He loves us so much, and he wants to bring us in, and he wants to protect us, and he wants to shelter us and provide for us. As we walk in the light, in thy light shall we see light. Verse 9, God allows us to see light in his light. Then we walk with Christ as our light. God gives us light and says, this is a way, walk ye in it. This is a way, walk ye in it. Psalm 119:105, the Lord says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has given us light. He's given us light for salvation. Then as Christians, he's given us light each day in our lives. We need to put they put their trust under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 91:1. We put our trust under the shadow of his wings. Psalm 91:1. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a place to be. Hard times come. Difficult things come. Whether maybe with your kids, maybe with your grandkids. Something really hard. When those times come, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 8, thou shalt make them drink of the water or of the river of thy pleasure. God has everything we need and more. When he says, drink of me, he has everything we need for our every need of our life. Verse 9, for with thee is the fountain of life. Life comes from Jesus Christ. Life comes from Jesus Christ. Then finally, the saved. Our Lord divides the sinner from the saved. He says in verse 10, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee. Are you one of those who know the Lord Jesus Christ? Verses 11 and 12. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise up. The psalmist says, there they are fallen, and there shall they not be able to rise up. Where is there? It is not a geographical location. It is wherever we flee to the Lord. It is wherever we flee to the Lord and trust in him. There is where we meet God. Maybe it's by your ottoman. Maybe it's by your bed. Maybe it's sitting on your couch. There is where you come and meet God. There is the only place where our enemies fall. It is also where we meet God and are under his care. No matter what is happening around us, we can flee there under the Lord's care. Under the Lord's care. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, and he is the fountain of life. He is the fountain of life. Thank you so much. Let's run through those questions. You can open them doors if we're holding everybody up. Let's run through those questions. Question 1, Psalm 36:9 and John 4:9-15. What does the expression fountain of life refer to? The living water. Tuesday, where were the two evils committed by the people of God? What were they? In Jeremiah 2:13. Okay, you've forsaken me, and you've hewn out cisterns with your own hands. Okay, then Wednesday, this truth is repeated in Psalm 36:1 and Romans 3:18. What's the truth? There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's right. Psalm 36:5-6 lists the attributes of God that are mentioned along with the aspects of nature. Who wants to do those? Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are as a great deep. Thy mercy is in the heavens. Somebody want to read that last one for me? Okay, faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Can't read my own writing. Where is it that we find satisfaction and safety? Under the shadow of his wings. Under the shadow of his wings. Then lastly, how do we receive light we need for direction in life? By obeying God. Someone else? Who said light? By walking in the light. Okay, excellent. Okay. Thank you so much for coming.